Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome as we celebrate the third Sunday of Pentecost, a happy Father's Day to all our fathers out there. We want to give thanks for this beautiful Sunday as we praise and worship God. A few announcements before we get started. First, I want to give a big shout out and thank you to our CEC that sponsored our movie night at the drive-in. That was my first opportunity to go to Lynn's. We had a great experience. The kids had a lot of fun. So we continue to appreciate your support of our youth ministries. Please make special note, next Sunday we will have a special church council at 9:45 before worship, not after worship. We will be before worship at 9:45. The joint board is asking the congregation to consider a new lawnmower for the church and the parsonage. Our current one is starting to show some serious signs of aging, and the trustees would like us to consider an upgrade. I've actually put out in the narthex for those to the storm and how many people have stepped up. So our question today is, what do you love most about the community you live in? What do you love most about the community you live in? That's all I have for announcements at this time. Let us please rise and extend the right wave of fellowship. Good morning. You may remain standing. Sorry. You may remain standing as we join together in our watchword for the week. I like to switch things up on you once in a while. Our watchword comes from Psalm 22:28. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. You may remain standing as we join together to sing, "This is my Father's world." This liturgy comes to us from our Sing to the Lord, a new song book, which came out actually not too long ago. Believe it or not, there are new Moravian liturgies, and on Mother's Day and Father's Day, they've written some beautiful liturgies that include not just biological parents, but all forms of parents. Even those out of our household, the spiritual leaders of our church, those who show us how to be good mothers and good fathers, we celebrate and rejoice in that today. So similar to how we did it on Mother's Day, I'm going to invite all of our fathers and men to stand, and we are going to share as leaders in this liturgy. I will read the first two paragraphs. I will do the blessing at the end, and then we'll go from front. So we'll go from Doug, Tyler, Jim, Randy down. We'll go all the way down across to Denny, and then come back up all the way to Tom. So just make sure you're standing. If you don't feel comfortable reading, that's okay. You may remain seated. We don't want to put anybody on the spot, but I think it's a good opportunity for the congregation to hear the many voices of fathers in our congregation. So at this time, I invite our fathers and men to please rise. Lord, on this day, to set aside, to honor and remember fathers, we give you thanks for our fathers. We are grateful that you chose to give us life through them, and that they received the gift of life from your hands and gave it to us. Thank you for the sacrifices they made in the form of time, courage, and patience. We thank you for the men who raised us, who were our fathers in childhood, whether biological father, adopted father, older brother, uncle, grandfather, stepfather, or someone else. We give you thanks for these men who guided and protected us, who cared for us and held us in your love. We pray that our lives may reflect the love they showed us, and that they would be pleased to be called our dads. Go ahead. Oh, I'll start. Sorry. We pray for older dads whose children are grown.
Grant them joy and satisfaction for a job well done.
Go ahead.
We pray for new dads experiencing changes they could not predict.
Grant them rest and peace as they trust you for the future.
We pray for
grant them patience and good counsel in the coming months.
We pray for dads who face the demands of single parenthood.
Grant them strength and wisdom.
We pray for dads who enjoy their natural moments.
Grant them time to share with their families.
We pray for dads who are raising their children in poverty.
Grant them relief and justice.
We pray for dads who try to balance vocation and family.
Grant them courage for the living of each day.
We pray for stepdads.
Grant them patience and understanding and love.
We pray for dads who are separated from their children.
Grant them faith and hope.
We pray for dads who marry to battle and fight.
Grant them support and insight. Jim, that might be an eye test for you. Can you read that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I got you covered. We pray for dads who have lost children.
Sorry. Grant them honor in the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
We pray for fathers whose children's lives ended in abortion.
Grant them healing and peace.
We pray for dads who gave up their children for adoption.
Grant them peace and confidence as they trust in your providence.
We pray for adopted fathers.
Grant them joy and gratitude for the gift you have provided.
We pray for boys and men who think of being dads.
Grant them wisdom and discernment.
We pray for men who desperately want or wanted to be dads.
Grant them grace to accept your timing and will.
We pray for all men who have assumed their father's role in a child's life.
Grant them joy and appreciation of others.
We pray for dads who show us the way of faith.
Grant them the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We pray for these people present who are grieving the loss of their father in the past year. At this time, all men may remain standing, and boys as well, as we offer them a blessing. Lord, we thank you for the gift of fatherhood. We thank you for the many examples of faithful fathers in Scripture, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Zechariah. Now hear the names of other men who have inspired us by their fatherly examples. This time I invite you to share. Robert, Warren,
Willie,
Greg,
Dean,
Ted,
Jim Sr.,
Robert,
Kenny,
Virgil,
Wayne,
and Alan, Francis, and Carl,
Wallace,
Jerry, Adam, Jack, and
James H. Gibbs. Don.
We uplift these names and the names that are on our hearts right now. We are mindful of this day of all these men, and especially Joseph, the earthly father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had the courage and faith to say yes to your calling. May these men and boys gathered here today emulate these examples of faith. And may they model for all the rest of us what it means to be your disciple. Bless them on this special day in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We will now hear God's word from Scripture.
First scripture comes from Galatians 3:23-29. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come was revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Second scripture comes from Luke 8:26-39. They sailed to the region of Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him.
Amen. At this time, we turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer, a time of reflection, time to uplift our joys and our concerns to God. First and foremost, we want to give thanks for our fathers. As we prayed on Father's Day, we give thanks for many of the male spiritual mentors we have, many of the people who raised us and cared for us and loved us and made us our own. And we give thanks, most importantly, for our Father in heaven. We also want to continue to uplift Sunday night. We pray especially for those in Janaden Hutton who are hit hardest by the storm. We give thanks to many first responders and emergency response crews who have been assisting with the cleanup, who have been getting our power back. We also uplift in prayer those who remain without power or have lost power again. Excuse me. In our prayers, we offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Janice McClintock. After her passing this week, she is a friend of the Martins, and we uplift Janice and her family in prayer. We think of all those who lost parts of their houses or houses in Janaden Hutton. We think especially of our friends down the road, Roy and Becky Williams, longtime members there, and we continue to uplift other families in prayer, and we also look for opportunities to serve in mission in our local community. We offer prayers of joy and celebration this week for Karen Eichel and Jason Jones. They got married on Wednesday, I believe in Cincinnati, Kentucky area, so we congratulate them to the newlyweds as well. For prayers of recovery and healing, we uplift them for the following people. Tim Reynolds, Janet West, Jim Ferrone, Dot and Gary Trapsell, Tammy Bennett, Amy Pasquinelli, Corey Weitzel, Dave Poole, Ryan Castor, all those who have been afflicted with COVID-19. And we continue to pray for the health, safety in our world. We pray for the people of Ukraine. We pray for many people in our world who are dealing with food crisis because of this situation as well. So let us take some time in silence and invite God into this time of prayer. Gracious God, we come before you today and we are grateful that you are Father to all, to each and every one of us. And we give thanks not only for our biological, adopted, or all of our fatherly mentors in our lives, but especially for you. Because you are the rock. You are the place we can go to. You are our comforter. And you make sure that each one of us feel love and compassion on this earth. And we are so thankful for you. Gracious God, we want to give thanks for you keeping us safe from this wicked storm we had this past week. We realized that there was much damage in our local community, but we did not lose a single life. And we know that's not an accident. We know you are watching over us and taking care of us. So help us to give thanks and help us to be the ones who can help others. Because it is our neighbors and our friends who have lost trees and houses and different things in their lives. Help us to be the ones that step up for them. And gracious God, we uplift a lot of personal prayers this week. People who are undergoing surgery, people who are in pain, people who are not sure what the next option is, or they're waiting on a procedure. Be with them. Strengthen their hearts, their bodies, and their minds, and remind them that no one who walks with God walks alone. So help us to remember that as we carry your faith, your hope, and your love with us in all times and all places. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, we turn to our offering. Once again, reminding you, no plates going up and down the pews today, but there is a plate in the back for any of you who'd like to make a donation after worship. For local organizations to support this week, there's too many to list because of the needs in our community, but look for ways we can help this response in Dunedin-Hutton and other areas as people are trying to rebuild their lives from this storm. That's something we'll look forward as a mission opportunity in these coming months, how we can help the people around us. Sometimes we often see mission as something that is only 500 miles away, but sometimes our most important missions are to the people around us. So let us carry that missionary heart into our offering. Please rise. Our children to come forward for our children's chat. Come on up. Make yourself right at home. We're gonna get some good exercise. We're gonna stay standing for a little bit. We're gonna move around. Yeah, I know somebody's excited to move around. Yeah. I know, I wish I had that energy that Willow had. All right, so what we're gonna do, first of all, how are you doing this morning?
Good.
You excited? You wanna move around? Are you looking forward to that?
Yeah.
So what we're gonna talk about are the things we love today. So we're gonna group it in three categories. If you love something equally, like you think the average person loves it, you're gonna sit right in the middle. But if you love something very, very much, you're gonna run all the way to this side. What do you think that side's gonna be?
If you don't like something
very much, you're gonna run to this side. You're gonna pay Mr. Baker a visit, wave to him and say hi. All right, so we're gonna start out, first one's gonna be an easy one. It's summer, it's Father's Day, you gotta have a hot dog today. So what is your opinion about hot dogs? Do you love them equally? Do you love them more than a normal person, or do you love them less? What do you think, Will? You're staying with me? I'm in the middle. I'll be in the middle with you. All right. I guess that's how it goes. So you guys don't like hot dogs very much, huh?
She actually likes hot dogs.
Oh, okay. Well, she loves her sister, so that would put her over there. All right. Watermelon. What's your opinion about watermelon? That's fair. Depends what kind of watermelon. Tyler, I guess I shouldn't call you for any cookouts, buddy, huh? No watermelon, no hot dogs? All right, let's try it. We've got our fruit. We got to go vegetables. What about broccoli? Who likes broccoli?
Yucky. I'm
not a vegetable person. Not a vegetable person. That's okay. Oh, sorry, Will. All right, that's what I expected. You like a good broccoli? Good.
She still wants broccoli.
All right. Oh, yeah? That's cool. So summer, let's not forget about school. Let's do some subjects. Math. Who loves math? Who's okay with math? Who would rather not do math? That's good. See, I was like that your age, then they started adding symbols and letters and geometry and all those other things, and then I drifted over to that corner. All right, what about recess? You're okay with recess? Okay. That's fair. All right. I see two people who are going to stay there right there. My siblings.
What?
Remember, you're in church. You are in church.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a children's chat from Pastor Ben if he didn't include this. The Green Bay Packers. They're a football team that you will love. I got to stick my head out the window, actually, on this one to get my true feelings. How much I love them. That's okay. All right, let's give Kim a workout then. The Cleveland Browns. What are your opinions about the Cleveland Browns? That's okay. You know, I was starting to get here, then they traded for somebody, and now my head's out that window now.
Just jealous because we got a massage parlor in Cleveland now.
All right, how about God? How do you love God? More than the average person, equal to the average person, or less than the average person? That's a tough question. All right. I think we're to the point nobody wants to move. Here's your last one. This is the reverse. How do you think God loves everybody in this room? So you looking at you, does God love you more? Does God love you equal? Or does God love you less? That's good. So why do you think it's equal? He does. And you guys actually just did a perfect example. Because before Jesus and Paul came around and said, we are all one in Jesus, everybody was in their group, and some people said, God loves those people less, God loves these people more, and maybe some in the middle. But then Jesus said, no, we are all one in Christ Jesus. Whether we are Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, we are all one in Jesus. So when Jesus came, He showed us that we are all equal in the eyes of God. So for our prayer, instead of getting in a circle today, I'm going to ask you guys to go in a straight line. And we're all going to hold hands like this. And I'm going to invite those of you adults who are on the end of your pews, could you fill in the rest of ours? We're going to go straight down the line. I see what I'm putting in. All right. Oh, we'll get a couple more at the end. Let's get Mr. Schaefer in there. All right. Does everybody have a hand? All right. Let's pray. God, we thank you for loving us and creating us all equally, for sending Christ Jesus to remind us that we are all equal. And we all feel your love. We all experience the love of an awesome Father. So help these kids to remember, no matter where we get scattered in our likes and dislikes in life, that God loves all of us as His own children, equally and unconditionally. Amen. Now you can throw your hands up. Ooh. Good job, everybody. You can head back. Good workout today. Willow got her 2,000 steps in. Let's pray. God, open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to this message today, and really continue to echo those words to us, that we are all one in Christ Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So when I started thinking about this sermon on Sunday afternoon, this idea that we are all one in Christ Jesus, I started looking at all these different theological concepts and ideas on Sunday evening or Sunday afternoon, and then Sunday evening happened, this huge storm that we had. And driving through Janadin and all these other areas Monday, I thought hard about verses 26 to 28. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you are baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ, there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. All are one in Christ Jesus. We go straight down the line. as our kids just showed us. And it's interesting to think about, but sometimes it takes a crisis for us to remember that we are all one in Jesus. And I thought about these words a lot as we watched our surrounding community recover from a devastating storm. And I hope you saw many different examples this week of people showcasing that we are all children of the same Father. We saw first responders who went above and beyond the call of duty, working beyond their normal hours, going beyond their normal situations. We saw local businesses, Hog Heaven and other local restaurants that went through Janaid and Hutton and other areas, delivering free food to those without power. Local churches and libraries opened their doors and offered their services, even if it was simply calling themselves a cooling station and letting people come in who had no AC or no power. They were doing in a small way a service for their community. Whether it was water, a cool place to stay, a simple meal, or a hot shower. And on a local, even smaller level, I saw neighbors that were fortunate to avoid the brunt of this storm, helping neighbors and friends clear debris and branches who were not so lucky. People stepping up and supporting one another around each other. And it's so easy to look at the devastation around us, especially when it hits us so close to home, and be angry with God. During times like these, when I feel it is easier to shake my fist at God than it is to pray, I try to remember the wise words of Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers said, "When I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news," Rogers said, "my mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping.'" And I hope you looked around your community and your world this week and you saw that this community has helpers in spades. A colleague asked me not too long ago, "What keeps you and your family in Tuscarawas County?" And you know what I told them? I said, "We may not live in the biggest or most affluent county in the Midwest, but these are the type of people that I live with who show up for one another when times are tough. They go to bat for each other. When there's a problem or there's an issue here, people step up. You can count on them." So I want to look at your whiteboard. Your whiteboard question is, what do you love most about the community you live in? Take some time to write on that. What do you love most about the community you live in? What do you love most about the community you live in? Let's see some of those responses. Willing to help each other, absolutely. My neighbors, yeah, I've heard a lot about your neighbors. You guys always are willing to pitch in your neighborhood, absolutely. Giving, I love it, and the handwriting is excellent. Friendly, absolutely. The beauty of it, yeah. When you look out here and you look out the valley, it's beautiful, it's gorgeous. I was thinking about that. We were away in Maine for a few weeks, in early May, actually. Hold on before I get to yours. Naturally, a pastor goes on a tangent here. But I was like just in awe of the beauty of Maine. I was like, oh wow, I wonder how beautiful it would be like to live here all the time. And then I came back home and realized I wasn't paying a lot of attention to a lot of the beauty that I see here, just as beautiful. God, absolutely. Being connected. We know a lot of our neighbors, right? Friendliness, family oriented. Miller's Creamery, absolutely, there we go. Hey, ice cream is an essential for many people. Friends and neighbors, a lot of opportunity, friendships, helping, always there in the time of need. Everything we need is right here around us. Em, what did you have? I'm sorry. Love, caring, supportive, helpful. These are some of the responses from our people online. But you hear a lot of people talking about the positive things in our community. And I want you to remind that, because we often go to that echo chamber of social media and we hear people complaining about things. This isn't working right. This organization isn't right. But when we take time to think and stop, we can have much to celebrate. We have much to be thankful for. And when I was thinking about this question, kids to play with, absolutely. That is a great response. And when I was thinking about this from a bigger picture, I was thinking about our country, the USA. And as a citizen of this country, I can only remember one time in my life where it felt like we lived as a big community, as a huge neighborhood in this country. And you know what day that was? It was September 12th, 2001. And for a few months after that. And I remember it very vividly because I was only 11 at that time. But I could tell people stopped caring at that moment about what color the yard sign was in their yard. What their neighbors' politics were, what their friends disagreed with them about. And for that moment in time, we treated each other as brothers and sisters in this country. We were all Americans. It was a beautiful feeling. But the problem is that sentiment didn't last long. Because the challenge we have before us is how do we build this close sense of community where we are all one in Christ Jesus when we aren't in crisis, when we aren't in crisis? How do we raise our level of caring for the world around us during ordinary times? Because you see, the problem with the way things are functioning right now is that if a crisis is a catalyst for human compassion, then the compassion for our neighbors last only as long as that crisis does. Once the crisis is fixed, once it's solved, we quickly recede back into our divisions of distrust and hatred. But if we change our mindset, if we change our perspective, if we truly take what Paul is preaching to us to heart, that we are one in Christ Jesus, not just sometimes, not just during crisis, but all times, then that means we bring compassion into our world every single day, regardless of the circumstances. And the best way we can do that is with empathy, by caring for people, by understanding what they're passionate about, what they love. I recently read Dylan Morone's book, 10 Conversations with People Who Hate Me. This was written by a young man who became very big on social media and other platforms, and he had a lot of haters out there, people who were writing very mean and inhumane comments to him. So he would actually track some of these people down, and he would have conversations with them. Conversations that led to growth. Conversations where two people who realized they didn't hate each other. They could always find common ground. But Dylan, in this book, through the course of this courage that he wrote about, the words that hit me hardest was Dylan said, empathy is not endorsement. Empathy is not endorsement. In other words, that's a really fancy way to say you don't have to agree 100% with somebody on every single social issue, on every single family thing, to treat them nicely, to treat them kindly. We are all capable of empathy, even with the people we struggle with. And we, as Christians especially, we have to be kind to the people we disagree with, politically, spiritually, or other things. We have to show people that this idea that we are one in Christ Jesus changes us. It transforms us. And it's important to remember, because we live in an age right now where we're constantly being told, you have to agree with a person's personal choices to help them. You have to agree with them 100% down the line, or you should ignore them. And that's not how we should function in this world. Empathy shouldn't be conditional on how much we agree with people, on how much we care for them, because we have the opportunity to show the world that we are one in Christ Jesus. So I encourage you this week, especially as you feel this sense of community around us, as we step up in the midst of this crisis, remember that we are all capable of love, compassion, and empathy because we have Christ Jesus guiding us. And it shouldn't take a crisis or something else to remind us of that. We have that accessible to us at all times and in all places. And even if it is somebody, a neighbor who we've known our whole lives, who we agree with everything, or even if it's somebody in the distance that we know nothing about, we all have the ability to care, to love, and to see each of us down the line as being loved equally by God. And imagine if that world had that same concept that we just saw in our children's chat. That when it comes down to the love of God and our love for each other, we are all on that same line. That could change the world. That could remind us just how capable we are. So let us carry that message with us, that we are neither Jew nor Greek. We are neither male nor female. We are neither freed nor slave. But each and every one of us are one in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you and we just want to give thanks for you reminding us that we have such a wonderful and gracious community to be a part of. It is beautiful in not just the setting, but the people who show up for one another. So help us to remember that we should have empathy, we should have love, and we should have courage, not just during the difficult moments, but during the everyday moments. Because this world needs to see that our love, our empathy, and our faith is not conditional on how much we agree with someone or how much we think they're right, but it is unconditional because our Savior loves us without condition. So call us to love and care for this world equally as you love each one of us equally. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together in our final hymn, I Serve a Risen Savior. Please rise. Thank you. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.